We will trust that our service will not be more than 3 or 4 or 5 hours this morning, so you can enjoy your family. But we do have some coffee and oranges and a few things just to celebrate with afterwards, so please stay, have some fellowship. This morning I'm talking about the love of God. God is love. You can see it in 1 John 4, verse 6. I quote it in King James, just leave that slide there, but you know, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. It just sounds better in King James, but I'm showing my age. All the verses that I memorized in Bible school were in King James. So if I think of Bible verses, they come out in King James. But he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This time of year always gets sentimental. There's lots of reasons, both good and bad. And I trust that as we are worshiping today, you could just sense God's amazing grace and love for each one of us, his blessing to us. 1973, my sister Irene was in the city having a difficult time in her life, and it was Christmas Eve, and I don't want to steal her testimony, but it was that year that God's love poured into our family and changed our entire lives. And so on that Christmas Eve, she was alone here in the city. Long story, I won't tell you the whole story. But she felt totally depressed to the point where she found herself on the high-level bridge thinking of jumping off. And it was not a good season. And she's standing on the bridge. This is her talking to me, telling me her story. And she said, I'm going to go back to church one more time. And it was Christmas Eve and Christmas Mass, and we came from a Catholic background. And she went to the Mass at midnight, as you know the tradition, and that didn't help her a lot. But it kept her off the bridge, and she went in and she sat for a while, and she said, if there is a God, he's not here, but that's her testimony. But it was used by God to spare her life. And that year, 1974, the beginning of that year, 5 of us kids got saved within a month. She came and shared her testimony to my brother and other sisters, and they shared with me, and some of you know our testimony. And it was because of that amazing outpouring of the reality of God's amazing love that changed our entire family. And so when I talk about God as love, it's not just something in our minds. It's a reality that God wants to show us and taste and see, and it has to be part of our life. So I have about 4 scriptures. Put up the next one, please. And I'm just going to go through them quickly so we don't take a lot of time. We don't have to search. But Romans 5, verse 8. I want to talk about the unconditional love of God. Somehow that has to get to us this morning, his love for us. Whether you're Irene standing on the high-level bridge or me on the farm wondering what is the point of my life in 1974, wherever you're at, Romans 5, 8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Next one. But God, this is Ephesians, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive in Christ. Amen? Next one. Well, basically the entire Gospels. I don't have time to read the Gospels this morning, but the entire Gospels is a rescue mission of God coming to seek and save that which is lost. Next one. For God so this one everybody has memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, have everlasting life. Amen? So those are scriptures. Those are texts, those are doctrines, those are the teachings of the church about God. But somehow, it's got to reach way deeper than just our minds. And I love the atmosphere at Christmas time when the kids are singing, we're holding candles, we are giving presents, stirring up good memories and good feelings in our lives to remember that the love of God is not just something to talk about, but to be experienced. Next slide. God sent his only Son, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And that's where the verses come out of where, you know, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. Next one. Now, here's my sermon, some of it. But God's love is unconditional. Somehow, that message has to sink into our hearts. You cannot earn it. Before you did anything, before you said anything, before you quit anything, before you improved anything, not even after we were saved, God loved us. His love is unconditional. Next slide. See how fast I'm going here this morning? We're going to enjoy Christmas together. But we have a hard time with believing the unconditional love of God. We have a hard time to grasp it because we know ourselves. I mean, some of you I can't love very easily. Tim. Carl. No, I got to quit naming. You have a hard time loving me. It's like to understand the unconditional love of God is tough on us because we know our own hearts. We know that we come on, be honest. There's people that we find hard to love, and there's people that are easy to love. And it sinks into us, and we start to feel like, well, maybe that's how God deals with us. We don't understand the love of God, a genuine commitment to our good. We don't understand scriptural teaching like discipline or the wrath of God. We start mixing these things together. How can we have this where God's love is unconditional, but yet there's judgment and the wrath and the punishment for sin? How do you put these things together, and it brings struggle in our hearts to understand? And that's where you'll get false teachings about love conquers all, and it's just all about love, and you'll have this harsh, legalistic view of God that unless we serve, unless we do works, and we, you know, every religion and every false cult is about striving and working and trying to please God. But the truth is, God's love is unconditional. He loves us, not because we did something, not because we changed some things. He pours out his love upon us. Next slide. There's a good comment here. I stole it from somebody. But judgment is God's wrath on the ungodly. Divine discipline is God's loving correction of his children to protect us from further disobedience and harmful consequences. Here's the simple, quick comment. If you can't have good if you don't have evil. You can't have darkness if you don't have light. You cannot have the love of God if you don't have the justice of God, the righteous, the holiness of God. And so where people get confused when we start talking about the love of God at Christmas time and it's just kind of this mushy-gushy thing, that's not the love of God. The love of God is his commitment to us, his commitment to our good and to our well-being. The love of God is balanced with his justice and his holiness, and you can't have one without the other. So we don't confuse the love of God with just anything goes, license, but we do want to understand that his love is for every one of us. And it's his love that reaches us and changes us and catches us. He reaches us with his love. And he draws us to himself. And there is, next slide, God's love has to be experienced. Amen? His love, this is what I wanted to get to, is not necessarily talking about, you know, how to balance unconditional love and the justice and the righteousness of God. Those are good theological discussions. But this is Christmas. What I'm trying to say is, according to the Bible, God's love has to be poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love is to be experienced, taste and see. It's not simply to facts or teaching or doctrine. I like the example of the cookbook, you know. Too many times our Christian experience is like a cookbook. You know, you put up a beautiful picture. I don't know if you've ever seen the Christmas cookbook pictures of the most amazing cookies and things, and then you see the reality sometimes. No, but the reality for Christians is far better than the cookbook view. Because he says, taste and see. Come, come. God will never let you down. He will never disappoint you. So there's times when we don't understand his ways. There are times when we don't get what God is trying to do. But when we can come to God, and I come back to my sister's story, and I come back to our story, the time when we tasted and saw We went to church our whole life. Okay, basically it was once on a Sunday and Easter and Christmas, but, you know, it was okay to be religious, just don't let it affect your life. You know, that kind of Christianity. But when the love of God came into our family, changed everything. When we tasted it, it wasn't just a preach, it wasn't just a Christmas message. It was like God broke into our home and we were changed forever. We were forgiven, we were redeemed. Like all the amazing words we use for Christianity, but I'm trying to say, folks, it's something that we taste and something that we see in our lives. And when it's poured out, when His love actually comes and is poured out into your life, it's not just a preach, it's not just a talk. It's God's amazing goodness. And as we are singing this morning, we will praise His name forever. I'm telling you, I felt the anointing even on our drummer in there this morning. Just, we will praise His name forever because of His amazing, amazing love that He shed into our hearts. Not while we were looking for Him. We weren't looking for Him. That's the point of unconditional love. He found us. We didn't find Him. He came and reached us. He sent His Son, Jesus, to save us. He came into this world when the world hated Him. Still does. Still, like the old preachers of old, you know, they're biting the hand of God as He's trying to save them. They're like scorpions, biting, hating. That's why they're under the wrath of God. That's why God's judgment will fall on the earth. It's because people do not want to serve God. Next slide. What does the love of God do for us? Amen. See how good I'm going here? His love controls us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of God controls us, constrains us. Amen? The love of God, and he says in a little further on in that verse, I didn't write them down for you, but he says, we no longer live for ourselves. Amen? That's what the love of God does for us. It commissions us to be ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, stay in that chapter. But therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. It commands us. I don't have this on the slide, but the seas all of a sudden started to flow. He controls us. He commissions us. He commands us. He says, love one another. 1 John 4, verse 19. It's a command to love one another. But the beauty of God's command to love one another is we can't love one another, really, without God's love in us. It's an impossible thing to do, but when God says to love one another, it is possible because He puts His love into us first. We love because He first loved us. That's the only way. It's the only way we're going to be able to truly love one another. We, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Next verse. Keep going. You're doing great. You're not doing so great anymore. Okay. Jonas, bless you, man. You're going to try to control my preach this morning by putting those up there. Did it change? And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves. I like that line. No longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. Keep going. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. One more verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Hallelujah. So we are commissioned. We are commanded to love. And then He causes us to live a generous life. I like the quote, you cannot love without being generous. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. It's going to change the way you live your life. So this week, I was reading the story again of Lazarus. And I like that story because, you know, I've preached it many times, but it's amazing just the showing of Jesus' love for his friends. And I don't want to take the time to go to the scripture, but you can go and read there. But when the story starts, Jesus shows up, Lazarus, he gets the word that Lazarus is dying, and he waits until he's dead. You know the story. And then he shows up late, and the Bible says he loved him, and he wept. He loved, these were his friends, these were family, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We don't hear much about the stories about them, but it was a place where Jesus would go. He was their friends, he would spend time with them, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, what could be greater than that? But a little bit later in the Gospel of John, just before the Passover, it's the week before the crucifixion, it's the week before all the whole story of redemption and salvation. They go to Bethany, which is just near Jerusalem, and they go to his friend's house again. And Lazarus and Mary and Martha are there, and it says they prepared a banquet for them. And they're having this banquet, and at the banquet, there's the religious people. They don't know what to do anymore. Because, first of all, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he did it on a Sabbath. He broke all the religious rules. He broke what they said shouldn't happen. They wanted to kill him. I mean, that's a good reason to kill somebody. They break your religious traditions. But this is later on, just before the crucifixion. They come back, and now these guys are really fed up. And they're having this banquet, and the religious people are there, and they're deciding now, okay, we're going to have to kill them both. Look, it's like, look, the crowds are going after him. We can't stop this thing. What is going on? And as I was reading that story again this week, it just, to me, it's the picture of God's amazing love and what it does in people's hearts. You got Martha and Mary. They prepare this amazing banquet. The whole place is there. The people are caught up in it. Mary takes ointment, and that's the story where she takes this precious ointment, and she washes Jesus' feet with it and wipes his feet with her hair. So you got Mary just loving Jesus. And in the story, I want to be Mary, okay? That's who we want to be. And she is just amazing. And the crowd is there, and they're just excited about what God's doing. You got the religious people that are deciding at that moment, we must kill them both. And then you got Judas. Amen? And Judas is, I don't want to be him. Okay? That's the point of my message this morning. Judas is there, and he's mad because Mary put the ointment on Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her hair. And he's saying, we could have kept that. It's the money, you know, it's a year's salary, whatever it is. We could have used that to help the poor. It sounds very religious, sounds very good, but we know the story about Judas's heart. So you say, what am I getting at this morning? The point of the story is God's amazing love has been poured out. And what's our response going to be? Are you a Judas? Are you religious this morning? Are you the ones who are like, well, why doesn't the church do something good in this world? You know, we should clothe the naked and feed the poor. And I'll tell you what, the church does that more than anything, more than the government does. So I'm not against that. Or are you one of the religious leaders, offended, hurt? Church has hurt me over the years. I don't like people. People have hurt me, done wrong to me. I don't know. Like, everybody has a Christmas story. Family members I'm not talking to, whatever. Or are you a Mary this morning who can come and just worship Jesus? She brings the best gift. She brings just extravagant, extravagant worship to Jesus. And we know the story. It was a prophetic picture of preparing him for his burial and all of that. But my point is, I want to live an extravagant, worship, generous Christian life because Jesus saved me. 1974, on the farm in Black Falls, not looking for God, Jesus saved me. And he spoke to me through my brother, and he showed me his love, and it changed me for the rest of my life. And that's the simple story of Christmas. We heard it in the prayer meeting. The story of Christmas is a simple one. And so, coming back to Lazarus and his family, they're having this banquet. It's like a Christmas party. And I don't know what kind of meals you're going to be eating the next few days and who's going to be at your meal, but can we just be extravagant with our love for God? Can we just be wild? Can we be passionate with our generosity to God and to worshiping Him and loving Him and pouring out our hearts to Him? Is that okay? Is that okay? It's not okay. I appreciate you're listening, you're serious this morning. But I'm telling you, God's love is unconditional. And He wants to pour it into your life and my life. And my prayer is this morning that we would just receive it. You would open up your heart and receive His love. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. If Jesus was at your party this morning, and He is, what's your response? What's my response? Are you opening your heart? Are you saying, God, I need your love. I need your closeness in my life. I need the manifestation of your love, as PJ said. I need to know the love of God, that I can love others, that I can, this Christmas can be a generous, not so much with gifts and money, but with the love of God that is genuine, to forgive and to share grace and to share goodness with others. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to invite PJ to come. But I want to ask you this morning, just as your head's bowed and your eyes closed, this is Christmas. This is a time when we remember the amazing gift of God to send His Son, Jesus. And Jesus, this morning we thank You that You've come and that You're coming again. But I thank You for the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts, that it's not just a story. It's not just a theology, a doctrine. It's the reality of God poured into our lives. And we will praise You forever. And we will thank You and worship You forever. And I pray this morning, if there's someone in this audience that needs to feel Your love and the touch of God, may You reach out Your hand right now, Father. May You touch them. May You touch them in the depths of their soul, to know Your amazing goodness today. Do what I cannot do, Lord. Pour Your love into someone's heart and life today. And I thank You for it. I thank You, God, that we can put our trust in You today. And just as your eyes are closed, you say, you know, I'm here this morning. I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. Pray for me. I want to give Christ Lordship of my life. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know the joy of God's love in my life. You say, that's me. Would you just put up your hand for a moment? I would like to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can take your hands down. Thank you. Father, this morning, I thank You for these hands. Lord, we cannot explain the love of God, but I thank You that it is so real and it is so genuine. And I thank You that in 1974, You saved me as a 15-year-old. And as I see this young man and this young lady and these ones lift their hand this morning, God, I pray You would save, You would fill them with Your presence, with Your Holy Spirit, in this Christmas of 2023 would be memorable because you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the reality of God's love touching hearts and touching lives. And I pray, Lord, for families that meet this Christmas, families that have been separate, families that have been struggling with relationships. I don't know, but God, I pray that the love of God would come into homes, come into our hearts and our lives. Flood our heart, flood my heart today. I pray, God, we would have compassion and the love of Christ for one another. And I thank you for this time of year to remember your amazing gift of love. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.